Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here once again with my delightful co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
I made you chuckle.
Yep.
I hadn't used delightful before.
Nope, you didn't. You haven't.
I gotta keep you guessing, you know?
Yeah. And it's not too drastic, too exaggerated. Like, it's That's just true. A nice
You
one.
Are delightful. Yeah. It's, in fact, just a true representation of you. Mm-hmm. I think Antoine Bergeron, first word pops my head, delightful.
Okay, if you say so.
Second thing that pops my head is man crush, but you know. So how's it going this week, Antoine?
Going well.
Good.
You?
Well,
I know the real answer.
Yeah, well, I sound like I'm dying, but I promise you I'm not. But probably, anyway.
No longer.
Yeah, well, kids, daycare equals sick daddy. You know, same as always. You know how that works.
Yes.
And, yeah, the things between that and work being quite hectic. You know, it's just one of those timing things. At my job, we have people taking vacations. We're short staffed to begin with, and someone's baby decided to arrive early. So, lots of work to be done, and not a lot of Paul to go around. So, combine that with kids that don't sleep and they bring home the plague from daycare, end up with a sick Paul. But that's okay. I persevere. So, once again, we're here to waste time, ours, not our listeners, hopefully, and talk about the stuff we love. So, I guess we'll start with our hobby time. And I really didn't do much in the last week.
Well, so last sick kids and work.
Yeah, I know. The last week I talked about how I painted Snakeskin. I based her this week. That was my. Actually, she was already based. I technically painted the base and added some static grass and some what do you call that clump little
Tuft.
Clump foliage tufts. Thank you. A clump foliage is something else. Aside from that, I pulled out the airbrush. I whipped it out, as I like to say. And I put down some base colors on Hemlock from Guild Ball, from my union team. She will not match the rest of the team at all. But I decided I don't care, because I'm a rebel that way. And I've been doing a lot of 3D printing. We, Steve and I, and our other friend Antoine, not you, we'll call him Little Antoine. Little Antoine and Steve and I are going to a team tournament in in Massachusetts, which I guess is part of New England. So. And I'm providing, I'm actually printing some of my tournament trays for them as prize support. And they're paying me for those, which is very nice of them. And I decided that I would throw in a couple packs of miscellaneous 3D printed terrain for Guild Ball for fun, just so, you know, to expand the prize pool. That more people get stuff, because that's always fun.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So I'm printing just a bunch of small terrain pieces to be used for Guild Ball. And I'm debating whether or not I'm going to paint them up for them as well. Just do a quick paint job so that they've got some colors on them. And they can, you know, people can always repaint them or gussy them up if they'd like. But they'll be functional at least. I don't know how big a painting community Guild Ball has. Like, aside from our group, who all pretty much paint, I don't really know any other Guild Ball players. So, I figure if I give them blank gray plastic or purple plastic terrain for my 3D printer, it may stay purple terrain for the rest of its existence. that may be kind of sad. So I'll pull out the airbrush, throw down some colors, do a couple quick highlights, send it on its way. And that's about it.
It's quite nice of you.
Well, I'm quite a nice guy. Despite the things I read on the internet. It's my cover story. For those who don't know, I am savage at times. Much to many people's entertainment, though. Aside from that, I played a little bit of Guild Ball. Four games last week. Because there's a new edition of the game coming out, and we've been kind of beta testing it. Or pre-release testing it, because we have access to the materials. And that's been fun. It's always fun to kind of rediscover your models at the beginning of an edition. Because things change, and not only big changes, little changes can make a big difference in gameplay. So it's always fun to, you know, look at the card and go, oh wow, this model has this, I didn't realize that. I found that quite fun. And Steve, of course, is super into it, because he's our Guild Ball fanatic. And because we're going to this team tournament, he is big on practicing and getting good.
It's not like he needs that to want to play more.
No, that's true. But Steve has, I'd almost say not a phobia. What's the word I'm looking for?
Compulsion?
No. I can't think of what it's, but it's like he's got an Achilles heel, I guess you could say. And that's that every time he goes away, it's like he forgets how to play Guild Ball. And he does poorly at every event we go to, in recent history anyway. And he brought this up at Nova, and he's like, I must really suck at this game, because I can only play well against our local meta. And he goes, and I thought I was pretty good at the game, but every time I go anywhere else, I don't win. And to be honest, I don't think his record is that bad away. I think it's, you know, it's like 50-50, which kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you win some, you lose some. But he took it more personally. So he's in kind of crunch mode to try to get as much games as possible to be the most prepared possible to, you know, do the best possible. Which
I have the tiger montage way.
Yeah. Well, we were discussing in our chat group, and I think I mentioned the whole Q training montage, like lifting cases of unpainted miniatures and the mini wargamer training montage.
Yeah.
I should probably shake my paint before I try to use it. I hear it makes it stick better. / cover better.
Yeah, by the way, what are you working on tonight?
I'm working on that hemlock. Because right now she's lots of shades of green and not much else. So we're going to throw some color on her. And it may even look good if I'm lucky. But I won't make any promises to myself. We'll just see how this goes. I'm going to do it Bob Ross style. Throw some colors on it and see what sticks. And there's no mistakes, only happy little accents. Of course, that's kind of how I always paint, but because eventually my carrying level drops off, and if there are mistakes, they become happy little accidents because I'm too lazy to fix them. That should, you know what? That should totally have been like my commission painting service, like advertising tagline. I'll paint your models until I feel like I don't want to anymore, and then they're done. Good enough studios. So that makes me sound like a terrible painter. I swear to God, people, I'm not that bad. Especially not if someone's paying me to do stuff. I kind of feel the compulsion to paint well. Otherwise, Antoine and Yom will shame me.
Yom. Mainly Yom.
Yeah, well, mainly Yom. It's because he's a jerk.
Yeah.
Should call him Yom the Jerk Machine. No, that sounds horribly wrong. We cannot call him that. Family-friendly show. Right, Antoine, what have you been doing this week?
I've been scattered. So I finished the series I was painting last week.
Oh, right. You were doing some 40K in.
Yeah. I did 4 regular troopers and 4 of the bigger Sicarans.
Do you feel dirty?
They are dirty.
Well, yeah, I know. I play Mechanicus. They are dirty.
Yeah. And I meant mostly they're dusty. I've played, they're on the desert scheme, so lots of rust and everything, so they are dirty. I don't feel dirty because I don't play 40k and I have no idea if they're strong or not in kill team, so
I got no idea in kill team. I know I played them in regular 40k, and I had this whole theme in my head, and I bought them all, and without really knowing the stats.
Yeah.
And then it turned out it was super broken gross.
But so also, I think you are playing the strong part of that army, and I'm playing the weak part of it.
Yeah, but that was totally by happenstance, right?
Yeah, so, I know. Yeah, so sure. That's why I don't really feel dirty.
Though so. I think there was wasn't there a spam list at one point that involved tons of Skitarii? I feel like there was.
Maybe.
I don't follow it closely enough to really know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a 40k listener there out there who's screaming in his head right now that I'm totally wrong and I'm an idiot. they're actually kind of right, but My Apple Watch is telling me that someone's talking to me on Facebook. Oh, okay. That's what that ding was, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to mute crap. I guess I will fix that. This makes for a great radio, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This I is bet Paul it does turning in... off his turning off his Apple Watch. Okay.
The 8 models in 4 nights.
That's really good for you.
Yeah, that's incredibly good because I'm also super happy with how they came out.
They look great.
Like they're not the to the really, really base level I've painted most of my Relic Knight recently. They're far more advanced than that. They're weathered, they have OSL, and...
Yeah, you made Yom proud.
Yeah. I pushed it a lot more than I would usually do. And
it showed.
Yeah, Yom is selling it. I might even push it a bit further. I need to get some of that eye pigment white acrylic.
Oh, my heavy-bodied acrylic white?
Yeah.
That I've been telling you all about? Mm-hmm. Singing its praises?
There's a Merle sale right across the street from my work, so I just need to take some time over lunch and get some. So
yeah, it works. It works marvelously. I really like it.
One thing I realized is I didn't note my steps for my airbrushing. So
yeah,
over multiple coats of corrections, it's now looks similar, but after the first few coats, it was really not the same as the other batch I had done last year.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about that recently. I don't remember what army I was thinking about. But I was like, oh yeah, I should paint more of those. Oh yeah, I didn't mark any of this down.
Wasn't it the gray for your union?
No, that was just black and white.
Okay.
That I mixed. It was something. I just don't remember what.
Yeah.
It's always something with me.
Yeah.
I'm such a lazy painter. Yeah. Bad paw.
Yeah, I never put down, noted any of that. But I know there are some great apps to do that now. Even, like, you don't just need a... You could do it just with a notepad or something like that, but...
I've got a Google Doc, actually, for like, my fishermen and my union and some client paint jobs I did. I just wrote a Google Doc with a list of paints.
Yeah, that's better than me. I had a notepad, and as usual, I lost it somewhere.
Why I gave up on like a physical notepad.
Yeah,
because I did that too, and like 2 weeks later, it was gone.
Yeah,
so. I probably needed a piece of paper for something, and just grabbed the first thing available, and that was the last it was seen.
Yeah, so I should do that for the next project I do.
That's nice because you just put it in a folder on Google Docs, and it's searchable.
Yep.
Assuming you can remember what the keyword was you used.
So those were done. Fast, like four nights. That was a lot faster than what I usually do. I might have been going to sleep a bit too late.
I seem to recall some 2 a.m. pictures, but...
1 a.m. pictures, I think.
Oh, maybe you're right.
It was that's still bad, but anyway.
Oh, I'm not going to criticize you for your bedtimes, dude.
No, I know. We're both bad with that. After that, I painted truffles for my butchers. However, I'm missing a base insert, so I need to sculpt one. So she's on the... Well, the pigs is on the back burner. The pigs itself is done. But I'll need to do the base once I sculpt it. And tonight, just before we recorded, I was on the monthly hangout for Tom Mason Super Sculpting Show. And I finished a small conversion I'm doing for Dracula's America for a buddy. The guy who gave me the demo when I first tried it. So I'm
coming. Oh, Mark?
No, that was not Mark. That was Louis.
Oh, okay. So you're cheating on me with so many people now, Antoine? I don't even know.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That's what happens when I don't put out, eh?
Yep.
I don't play the game you want, so you cut me out. Like a cancer.
Yeah. And the last thing is I've started a model for a sculpting challenge. And I've done so many other things that still hasn't progressed much. That's what I'm working on right now. Trying to build a shape, something recognizable. But I'm not happy with my sketch for it, so it doesn't translate well to the model. And that's one of the reasons with October that started now. I've joined for the first time Inktober, the monthly challenge to do drawing in inks and share it every day. So I've been doing it good for the first 3 days. I'm concentrating on my stuffies.
I've actually enjoyed a lot of the designs. I think you're 3 for 3 for me, actually.
And I saw some progression from the start, like the pufferfish. Also, the pufferfish, the first one I did on the train, and a lot of the small lines I used for the shadows, they are clearly not straight and parallels to each other. But that's the best I could do with the train movement.
Yeah. We'll give you a pass on that one, Antoine, this time.
But it has only been 3 days. But having the prompt, they have a suggested theme every day. And that has been a really good way to keep me advancing. Like, I've had my sketchbook with me for, I think, 6 months now. And I barely have an handful of page full because I can't muster ideas out or find stuff that I really want to draw. But now that I don't force myself to draw something I could sculpt, and I have a team that's suggested, I find it easier. So it's been fun to do. I hope I'll be able to maintain it for the full 31 days. That would be cool to have a real backlog of nicer illustration and maybe see the progression too.
Yeah, I find sometimes when you take your choice out of the equation, you'd be surprised how much farther you get.
Yep. Yeah. So that's been fun. And outside of that, I played some games. Gilball, like you, we played at the bunker with Steve and the friends for some pre-season 4 warm-up.
Yeah, you spanked me.
Yeah, I spanked you. I barely spanked Steve. One on my last possible activation of the game before giving him the last point in timeout. So the Butchers are back in style, in strength, once again.
I don't know. Did they ever really go away?
Well, I put them away to Plane Aviators and when we tried it, and my engineers. So I hadn't played my Butchers in months now.
Yeah, but you hadn't played a lot of Guild Ball either. Let's be honest there.
No. But all my, I think since the summer, it had been only engineers.
That's true.
That was still just 3 or 4 games, but no Butchers in that time. So it was fun. They are even more killy than they were before. So
Yeah, I noticed.
That's good. It's their team, I guess.
if beating the crap out of people is a theme,
yeah,
then they definitely are thematic. Yep.
Yeah. The more I play them, the more I realize I prefer probably more mixed options.
Yeah.
But I still like them, and I do play them with a goal-oriented view. Like, I kill people...
Which is bizarre.
...to be able to score goals.
That is a rather bizarre way to play Butchers.
Both games I did a goal, and I try to have 2 goals per game with them, but it's not always possible, and takeouts are so easy with them compared to goals that...
Yeah, I totally played the wrong lineup against you.
You kind of force you into what you want to do.
Yeah, it's like Vet Rage was not the optimal choice. Because while he's a good beater, I played a kind of a Vet Rage with some scoring option team, and that totally didn't work out against a straight beater team. Mind you, I think even a pure beater Union team wouldn't really want to go into the Butchers that way. I think I'd want to be sneakier.
Yeah. But they're still fun to play, and I love the model, so that makes up for a big part of it. However, the more I think about it, like the Navigators are extremely forced in their play style too, but on the opposite, and
by all accounts they're extremely janky.
Yeah, but the more I think about it, I think I should probably get my engineer on the paint table, because they have more of mix playstyle, and I think I would enjoy it more, but I would need to play a lot more to get...
I think the curve is different, right?
Yeah.
I think the learning curve on engineers is a lot harder, I guess you could say, than the...
Oh, yeah, I think so too. But they have more options to go either way. They have a more balanced playstyle.
Absolutely.
Than the other two guilds I'm going for. So
they can score goals, they can play denial,
they can play control with the knockdowns and the pushes at range and everything. And they're still good at scoring, which is what I like. So I think I'm still gonna go for the navigators first, because they will be easy to paint. And simple, like that's 6 model, that's it. I don't need to do conversions on them. While the engineers, I want to convert them a bit before. So, and there's far more model, double the amounts. So,
yeah.
I'm going to go navigators first, and after that, I'll slowly start working on the engineers. Apart from that, I played one game of 40k Kill Team.
And how'd that go for you?
That was fun. Yep. That was really fun. I enjoyed more than the handful of games of 8th edition we played when it was released. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know how the game has evolved. I think they just launched an FAQ, didn't they?
Yep. Earlier this week. At the end of last week.
I think it's their second one or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, second big one.
All I know is, like, a day after it launched, people were making fun of it because there was, like, some glaring, like, oversights and things they changed. I was like, oh, GW, the more you change, the more you stay the same.
Yeah.
I think they changed something about charging in the game, about what you screening and stuff, or I don't know.
They changed flyers. That's what they changed, flying creatures, if I remember correctly.
Okay, well, the reference I saw did have a flying creature involved, so that would make sense.
Yeah, I seen the picture. There's a tank, like a feet behind, and there a row of guardsmen or whatever, and a lot of cities in between, and a demon prince on the other side of that row. And, oh no, you can't charge the tanks anymore. Yeah, weird 40k physic.
40k has always been like that, though, so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we talk to... You know, if we bring up every weird physics exchange in 40k, we'd be here for the rest of eternity. Like, how does that rule work again? Well, whatever.
Oh, it's not the only game that has those.
No, for sure.
Strange.
But because it's one of the because it's one of the biggest games in terms of volume of models, volume of rules and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just has more of them because there's more rules. There's more different variables. Yep. The more variables you have in a game, the more odd things you're going to run into, right?
For sure.
So not trying to knock 40K. I think 40K is a fantastic game with enough booze and enough pretzels and chips to go around. I think it's a lot of fun, especially if you're beating Yom. That just makes everything better, though.
And that's about it for me for this week, what I've done. So I just tried Kill Team. We might as well talk about it for people who have not heard about it, maybe.
Yeah. So convince me I should buy this.
Yeah.
Fair warning, it won't take much.
for people who are not aware of it, it's a new standalone game based on the 8th edition rules. It's more of a skirmish game with an infiltration mindset. You need, I think the last model you can take right now is 3. And the higher top is 20 models. And not a lot of faction can do that. Like, orcs could do it with grots.
And Tyranids with, like, gaunts or something, probably?
Yeah, with just base guns. But most of those are not probably viable by themselves. So it's better to have a mixed.
Well, mixed viable, stuff. You mean, like, the fact that you could do something useful with them?
Yes. Oh, okay. I mean, like, the grots. Army, like, kill teams are 100 points, and 20 grots max at 60 points. At least there's a differentiator. So if you are the underdog, you get extra common points. But I'm not sure that those four common points you would get really, really makes a big difference for your grots. Maybe. We'll see, because that's one of the faction I want to try out.
And build yourself some grot tanks.
Yeah. I'll probably do that and not just play pure grots. Okay, so you don't need mini models. It plays on a smaller surface. The size is weird, but that's what fits in their box. So you play on a 22 by 30 inches surface.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, that's oddly specific and non-standard.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the oddly, size of their 40K. Boxes when you unfold the mat. So most scenarios only sense. Play on that. You can play on smaller. They recommend not playing on smaller than 24 by 24. And some of the multiplayer missions use two boards, one next to the other. So it's up to you, but that's the base size and the base. The most of the scenarios in the book, the deployment zones are marked for that specific size. But you can always adjust if you have something else to play on. Some of the big change in the game when you're, if you're a 40k 8th edition players, movement is still I go, you go. Like the game makes me think of War of the Ring. So each player moves their whole army, whole kill team at a time. There's some change, like, you could ready a model. So it doesn't move and it gets a token that is going to be useful later. And you can also react to charges. So you could...
Overwatch?
Well, Overwatch is there in 40k and you can still do it. The other thing is you can retreat. So you retreat 3 inches away from the charging model. And that use up your movement for the phase. But if you do so, you can't move again. If you're the second mover, you can't you can't shoot, you can't react with an Overwatch or a further charge and stuff like that. So
and I guess the hope is that it gets you out of charge range.
Yeah, because the charges are still random, so it's 2d6. So those extra 3 inches might be enough for the charging model build to miss you, or not. You never know. But that's a nice option to have. But after that, the other three phases are alternating activations. So I shoot a model, you shoot a model, I pick a model for a melee, you pick a model for a melee, and we alternate that way. And same thing for a psychic phase. The big difference is the ready token I mentioned during the shooting phase are all resolved first. And after that, you pass to the unready model. So if I had 2 ready models and you didn't have any, when the phase start, I would resolve those 2. And after that, we start alternating.
Okay. That's a cool advantage. I like that.
That's good, but it prevents you from moving. So depending on the board and the situation, there's a trade and it's interesting.
And yeah. Anything that forces you to make interesting choices, right?
Yep, it does. And for the close combat, you pick all the charges, you resolve all the charges first, and after that you alternate the other close combat, either ongoing or the people who have received charge.
That's a standard 40k rule, isn't it? Charging models resolve, yeah.
No, because in 40k now...
40k, it was charging models get the initiative, right, in combat? In 8th edition? There is something
in 8th edition, you get a bonus now. But each player choose 1 close combat. So you could, in theory, somebody who was charged could fight first in 40k, depending on what the other player and the order they're chosen.
Oh, no, it was the old edition where if you charged, you had initiative, right?
Yeah. Well, the old edition, you fight by initiative anyway. Oh, so nice. Charging gave you, I think, an initiative bonus or something like that.
For some reason, I keep thinking there was something in...
There are so many editions, and they went quickly, so I don't remember all of them.
Yeah, that week we played 8th edition didn't really sink in. So
we might be off from
that. Yeah, or more likely off.
Yeah. And once all that is done, there's a nerve phase that in the end of turn phase, morale is back. So you have some command and control. So if models have taken, flesh wounds, they might get shaken and shaken model lose their next activation. But you have morale bonus if you have friend, near. If too many of your models get shaken, you might, your kill team might, break. And depending on the scenario, that might lose you the game right there, or it might be a malus or gives extra victory points to your opponents. So I like that that is back. And I mentioned flesh wounds. That reminds me of either the old Necronda or the way Predator Press does it with Company of Iron. So when you lose your last wound, there's a roll to see what happens with your model. Either he's taken out or he just gets a flesh wound. That's a token. And compared to Company of Iron, I really like what they do. That flesh wound is a penalty to your roll to attack and shoot. So it's cumulative. So your model doesn't stay fully effective once he's hurt. He starts degrading. And as soon as that model has a flesh wound, he starts making a nerf test at the end of the game every turn. So I like that.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. The list themselves, you don't have many choice. Like the Adeptus Astartes, you have four entries in their list. Regular Space Marine, Scouts, and two types of primers, like the regular primers and the Reavers with the skull mask.
Yeah, the Primaris Scouts, essentially. Yeah.
So that's all the options you have. And some armies have even less, like the Drukaris. They have their Kabbalite warriors, like the regular warriors, and the witches. That's it. I would have thought they had, and maybe that's me being out of date about the collection. They had in the book I owned, I think it was 5th edition, they had kind of infiltrators with the magic shooting, something like that. They had kind of a magic flames that they could throw or something like that. I thought those would fit the kill team team, but maybe the model changed since then and they don't fit the they don't fit that infiltrating specialized right. force anymore. I'm not sure. So I think the most choice goes up to 5. The orcs have that. And I think Imperial Guard, I might be missing one. But
in 5, like, model five, types?
No, model types. 5 codex entries available to choose from. Everything is pointed like 40k, like your basic weapon, the price is 0 because it's included already in the cost of your model. Some of the special weapons cost more. And you pick anything you want. One of the big things that lets you differentiate two kill team from the same army is you have specialists that you can add. So any of your model can get one specialization. And you have up to 4. So one of those must be your leader, which is the leader of your kill team. But you have a ton of other choice. You have comms, combat, snipers, heavy, demolition, veteran, zealots. And I'm missing some. So yeah, there's a bunch of options. And the 3 models you gave those get special rules. Like the sniper one, when he shoots, he can reroll once. That's their basic ability. And as they gain experiences, there's a tech tree that opens up and you get further bonus if he doesn't get killed.
Oh, for like campaign mode, you mean?
Yep. Yep. Because there's a campaign mode. And also, like 40k, they have, I don't remember, you have stuff you can do with your common points in 8 editions.
Yeah, you can buy dice rolls or...
Yeah, there's a name for that.
You can buy dice rolls, you could... The basic ones, anyway, where you can buy dice rolls, you could force
pass a close morale, combat. Force a close combat or stuff
yeah,
like
so
that.
You go first in a close combat or something once per turn.
There's the equivalent in Kill Team, it's called Tactics. So there are basic tactics, and each of the army also have are faction tactics,
uh-huh.
but also the specialists have specialist tactics. So that's other stuff you can use your command points with based on the specialist you choose. So depending, we could both have a regular space marine with a flamer, but depending on if I use him as a regular dude or if you pay for a demolition expert, that his rules will change and his options will change. And that's free for the first level, but in campaign mode, as they gain level, their point cost augment to show that the special rules are added and are worth something.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It's cool. It's simple. Most of those rules are super easy, like the leader one. As long as your leader is on the table and not shaken, you generate one more command point. That's his level one benefit. So not much to remember. And it's a nice bonus and it gives you more option for the rest of the turn because all the your team can benefit from those common points. Apart from that, what else changed? That's mostly it for the rules of the game. After that, there's three types of play like 40K. You can play open and bring whatever you want. You can play narrative and match play. One of the change.
What did you play?
We played match play because we had already made points, and it was an open day. Like we were supposed to be up to 8 players the game the time I went, and we didn't have preset matchup, so it was easier to just have a similar sized army.
Well, that makes sense.
But I could easily see myself being some of the narrative missions or open missions, depending on who I play with and what we want to do.
Fluff gamer.
Yeah. Or like we mentioned in the last show, you were talking about maybe having like your Grey Knight with Adeptus Sororitas or something like that. That's not possible in the base rules for the match play, but that's something we could do for open play or narrative, whichever we choose. And there's a bunch of scenarios for each of the three, all three types of plays. There's campaign rules. You have a bigger roster. Like, I think you go up to 200 points or something like that. In each mission, you can pick who is going to go into the mission. And after that, there's kill zones, which are environmental rules based on the type of terrain you're playing in. Like the one in the box, there's only one in the base book, and that's for a sector imperialist if you're playing in a city, kind of a Cities of Dead or something like that. But they are coming out with the extensions, and we're going to see new rules for those out. And the last thing is they added a scouting phase. So before the game, you can pick, like your scout experts have come forward and prepare the terrain, so you can pick different bonus. You place traps in some terrain, or you counter that by picking the miners.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like people are anti-trap, anti-mine.
Yeah.
Like, so. You could mines.
Play the mind game with your minesweepers. You could play the mind game with your opponent and pick that in case he did that. So you could remove the mines before, remove the traps before the game. You could infiltrate some of your models so you have free move at the start of the game. Stuff like that. So there are 6 you can choose from. And that's a quick phase before the game. We skipped it when I played because it was my first game. But I could easily see using it for further. In the next time.
The only time I remember playing with environmental stuff was in Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that I think the environmental damage, the stuff that was going on, did more damage to the armies than we did to each other.
Oh, yeah, but that was far bigger. Like, the kill zone rules, I think there's... you roll a d6 to see what happens. And one of those is there are, minnows and sewage entries on the board. So you can use them as infiltration points or to move during the game, stuff like that. Or one of the terrain has an ammo cache in it. or something. It's nothing big like there. It's raining and it's the apocalypse and the terrain is going to kill you. Nothing that big yet, at least. There might be a specific kill zone for that. Like, you have a mission in during an apocalypse game. Yeah. So, overall, it's not a big change to the 8th edition, but it makes it more interactive, I find, with the alternating information in the last three phases of the game, with the answers to charge and stuff like that. I like the adding back of the command and control, the rules for the specialists and the campaign. So overall, I'm impressed with it. I find that they did a better job than Private Press did, just by the difference in the flesh wounds, it having a campaign rules straight in the main book, even if it's pretty bare and simple, but at least it's there.
Yeah, but I think it's, and I might be totally wrong on this, and I'm sure people will crucify me if I am, but like, I always felt that Privateer Press didn't build Company of Iron to succeed.
Yeah, I agree with you. It almost felt rushed, like a test, maybe.
Yeah.
But they brought further rules as the No Color Primed went out. But now that No Color Prime
is gone,
I don't see. It's going to be by the blogs that we'll see new content for it, probably. But sadly, there's not much talk about it. But I really like the format for it, so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We already have the models, right? So.
Yep. And that's the same. Yeah, that's the exact same reason why I tried Kill Team. I still have a bunch of 40k models, and I don't play 40k, but that specific version of it, that interests me more. The lower models, a lot of terrain, some campaign if we want, or even if we don't play with the campaign rules, just the more interaction and more included in the play you are, that gets me more.
Yeah,
that interests me.
I understand that. And then about 40k is it's got gorgeous models, right?
Yep, yep. That's the only reason I went back in 40k to get the Adeptus Mechanicus when they came out. Because outside of that, I don't think I would have bought 40k models anymore. But now with Kill Team out, I'm thinking about it again.
Well, and it's not big investments.
Yeah.
I mean, GW models are not cheap. But if you only have to buy one box of Primaris Marines, right? Or we're looking at, like, for the Primaris guys, you could buy the Snapfit models, you spend $40, and there's your Primaris force.
Yep.
And sure, they're Snapfit, they're not as posable, but if you just want to play, like, it's a done deal.
Yeah. And also, it's fun for people who like to convert model. Like, converting a whole army kind of doesn't make sense, or you need to really, really be focused. But for a small kill team, I'm seeing so many kill team conversions and kill team ideas on the web, on social medias and everything, and so many interesting ideas. It's getting my creative juice flowing too.
Uh-oh. I hate it when your creative juice starts flowing.
Well, I've already mentioned it, but I have Grots from the Grots Revolution Committee from Gorkamorka, so I have those models.
I'm glad you stopped me before I continued.
Yeah,
it was going someplace unwholesome.
So. Yeah, I guessed, and that's why I continued.
Good call, Anton.
Yeah, so they would probably be a fun list to do. Like, Grots by themselves are pretty crap, but orcs have 5 entries they can use, so you couldn't have burners and looters. So I could see myself doing kind of a...
You could have commandos, can't you?
Yeah, commandos too. I would see myself doing tiny killer cans piloted by Grots and use the orcs profile for them, like a tiny killer can with a giant gun for looters, and a tiny contest with a burner for my burners. And I have a swarm of Grots for the rest of the list. or even get my, I still have my Alpha Legions. I just have like an handful of them, but that would be enough. And I have my old 40k cultists. The guy that wear in chest and skirts with and weapons and pistols. So those two would make for a kind of an infiltrating Alpha Legion with crazy cultists going with them. It would work too. Would need like maybe three or four Alpha Legion and a handful of cultists, and that would make a kill team too. That would be a good reason to finally paint them. So many ideas. I really love multiple of the Imperial Guards regiments too, like Dead Guard or the Talarns. And Talarns, I could use the fantastic new models by, I think it's Max Mini we talked about
I think 2 weeks
ago or something like that. They're proxy Talarns. Mm-hmm. Those would be cool. So many options.
Well, you know, that's another thing. You could even buy Forge World models for this game because it doesn't take 500 models.
Oh yeah, that's why I'm thinking about the Dead Corps. I buy two squads to have regular and some of the Carapace armor, and mm-hmm. good to go.
Yeah, it's like I have a bunch of Imperial Guard stormtroopers.
Yeah. But
like the old metal Acadian ones, the
Kizarkins.
Kizarkins, yeah. So I have like two boxes of those guys, plus I have a bunch of the special weapons guys.
That would fit too. Yeah. One of the guys, when I played, had about that as a force. So I give it a big two thumbs up. I really, really liked it. And I see myself, like, I'm starting to think about like maybe making a board for it, just so it has the right size. It wouldn't be long. 22 by 30, it's almost the square boards we did. That's almost the same surface, so that's not long to do.
I think I have some 24 by 48 inch Zuzzy mats that I bought as extensions to my 4x6s. So trim a little bit off that. 24 by 48 becomes 22 by 36 awfully easily.
Yep, it does. Yeah. So many ideas. Or I wanted to have a backdrop to take pictures of my skitteries. But I don't have anything that fits their desert team, or like orange desert team. Uh-huh. So I could see myself doing a board for them. Like a 22 by 30 is not that big. And I could have, at the same time, a play surface and a photo backdrop to use.
Yeah, I'm not going to bother editing that out. For anyone that wants to know, that's Antoine's wife's chair, the floor above him.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
It's okay. I just, it's been going on. I'm like, I can't edit all that out while Antoine's talking. There's no way. So we'll just leave it in.
Yeah.
It's okay. It adds ambiance.
Yeah, people don't know, but usually there are more during the show, but we mark them and edit them out when I'm not talking. Sadly, I was in the middle of talking this time, so it's going to stay.
Yeah, it's okay.
And that's about it for me. That's what I had to say about Kill Team. Hopefully, that was enough to convince you to at least try it.
Antoine, I've already ordered bases for the kill team that I'm building. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Don't you worry, bud. One step ahead. Which I don't know if I can say that because you're the one playing it. So technically you're a step ahead of me, but I'm a step ahead of you trying to convince me to play.
Didn't even have to talk about it to want you to try it.
I'm easy, Antoine. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
In more ways than one.
I wasn't going to go with that. Well, but
I'm sick. It's late. I don't give a... I don't give a crap.
Okay. So
I'm all about the innuendo.
More kill team to come, and more innuendos and place remarks to come in our future.
Almost certainly.
So before we close out the show, a couple of things I found out this week I found this interesting and would like to share with you, our listeners. First, Black Scorpion Miniatures. They have a pirate game that's called Cutlass. That's been out for years now. However, they decided to, just in the past weeks, release it as a free rule set now. So it's available for free on their website. You can download the PDF. It's a pirate game, but with fantasy elements, so you can play. There's dwarves, there's goblins, there's orcs, there's even... They even produce a pirate giant, and there's rules for it in it. So I've not read all of it, just glanced at it, but I'm going to put more time into it because I have multiple goblin crews. That would be perfect to play them with as a rule set.
There's, aren't you sculpting goblin pirates?
I'm also sculpting goblin pirates, so... I'm not close to a full crew yet, but eventually. So that's going to be another crew of goblins added to my connection.
You can never have too many goblin pirates, Antoine.
Yeah. I'm still trying to find those old confrontation ones. And by trying to find, I mean affordably. I've seen them on eBay and or Bartertown, but not at price that I'm willing to play.
Were they part of the Kickstarter for the...
No, I don't think so. And even if they were, part of the Goblin deal or the full old faction deal, that's too much.
No, maybe someone would want to part with them, right?
Yeah, but I don't remember them being in because they were one of the special clans, and I don't think the special clans made it into the Kickstarter. I'll have to check. But we also have no idea when that Kickstarter will really ship.
Yeah, that's true.
And become a reality.
There is that as well.
So there was that. And the other thing I wanted to mention is Black Sun Miniatures. That's a company we mentioned quite a lot when we were doing the news show.
when we did a real show that was more structured. And
even before. In the main show, before we had the news, I think we were already mentioning them. But in the news show, probably. When we mentioned them often, because they have... Amazing awesome stuff.
Yep.
So they have made some change. They have removed all of their smaller line and they are concentrating on the bigger size miniatures, 75mm miniatures. And for that, they have a lot of new ones available or on pre-order. So what we'll link to is 5 new ones. I'm not 100% sure if those are some of the back order ones that are now back available or just all new sculpts. But as always, they are amazing. They have one demon and 4 barbarian / guest warrior style miniatures. All badass, all fantastic model.
Yes, yes, they are. They are truly gorgeous. But I think everything Baxton does now is freaking fantastic.
It is. And that's it for me.
Well, okay. I don't think I have much to add.
No, and you should go to bed anyway.
Yeah, well, you've got me painting now. So.
Bad Antoine.
Yeah, she's coming along quite nicely, so I might work on her a bit and then not sleep and then blame you. You know.
That's good. My I have a large her, back, so.
Yeah, my only problem with her is, I can't. It's one of the early Guild Ball models, right? So, I think I mentioned this before with Snakeskin. The details are there, but not easily visible, mm-hmm. shall we say? So, I'm painting stuff. I don't know what I'm painting, but I'm painting it.
Yeah, I remember hearing you say the same thing about Snakeskin last week, and you thought something was...
Oh, that's right, her collar piece. It's a necklace. No, it's not. It's a something. What? I'm looking at it. I don't know what it is, but...
Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay. I guess we'll call it quits here. Antoine, it was a pleasure as always. I look forward to doing this again with you next week.
Yeah, me too. I'm really happy that we are doing those back now.
Yeah, and I don't know if we can keep doing it weekly like this.
Yeah, not in your shape, at least. And not with how much Steve want us to record Guilds of the North. We might have to take some posts from the main show.
Yeah. Steve is insane. But he's our insane, so.
Yeah.
All right. So I will catch you next week, Antoine.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by La Drave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find the Gaming Careers Podcast, the resource for people looking to find their fit in the gaming industry. You will hear game industry professionals talk about how they succeed in today's competitive environment and how you can do the same. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.